And take a copy of the Word of the Lord and turn to 1 Samuel 31, the very last chapter. If you remember, again, what has happened since we weren't here last week, you might have forgotten that the Philistines, Saul went to the spirit medium and they were about to go up to battle right before that. And so Saul goes to the medium since he couldn't go to the Lord. And then it shifted from there and it went to David, and he was going up with the Philistines to fight against Israel. And then they turned him back. The Lord, through his providence, turned him back. And David and the men fought with the Amalekites the last chapter. And now we're here at the very last chapter of 1 Samuel. And we'll see the word of the Lord here, verses 1 through 13. This is God's word. Now, the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Milchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. And Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and pierce me through with it. Otherwise these uncircumcised will come and pierce me through and make sport of me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died with his three sons, his armor-bearer, and all his men on that day together. And the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley, with those who were beyond the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel had fled, then that Saul and his sons were dead. They abandoned the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and lived in them. It came about on the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head and stripped off his weapons and sent them throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. They put his weapons in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Now, when the inhabitants of Jebesh heard, Gilead heard that the Philistines had what they had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and walked all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his men from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jebesh and burned them there. They took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jebesh and fasted 7 days. Now that is God's word. We don't really get to see the battle or the details of the battle, but what we do have is enough. At the end of verse 1, the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. They were defeated in battle. It's tragic. What we find in the record is the first one that is recorded who died is Jonathan. And Jonathan was a God-fearing man, wasn't he? When we look back a few chapters ago, we would see that he is. He was faithful to David. He was also remained faithful to his father, even to death here. Beloved, sometimes God puts us in situations that will require us to sacrifice much. In his providence, he puts us in different positions in life. And Jonathan was put in the position in his life to be the son of Saul. For him, it seems like an unfortunate situation. And Jonathan sacrificed his life for his father, and yet it seemed like he is a man of faith. This was Jonathan's calling in life, to honor his father and submit to him, just as all children, your responsibilities, your callings are to submit and honor your fathers and your mothers. But our outlook often on this is tragedy for Jonathan, but is it really tragic when Jonathan laid aside a kingdom that he could not have, Israel, to be the next king, and to then enter into a kingdom which he could not lose, that is, eternity with the Lord? Is that really a tragic picture? And that's the picture we need to think about ourselves when we are in God's providence in seemingly bad situations in life and stuck there, as it might be. The Lord here is a God who puts people exactly where they need to be and to serve him, just like Jonathan had to be under his father and serve him unto his death. Here we also find the faithfulness of the Lord, that Saul dies. The Lord keeps his promise. He promised that he would die, and the darkness of Saul and his sons dying cannot overshadow the Lord in His faithfulness shining through in this passage, even though it's not apparent. It doesn't seem like it anyway. And if His word to Saul is true, which it is here because he dies, we know that His word will be true for David, and He will bring him to the throne. With Saul dead, there comes great shame. The Philistines cut off his head and take it back to Philistia, and the picture that is to be seen if you are a Philistine is that there is this Yahweh isn't that great of a God. If He was, Saul wouldn't have died. And Yahweh has lost, and the picture here is the idols have won. That's why they send him back, take the head back to their idols, and they put their weapons in the temple of Ashtaroth in verse 10. Well, that's God's reputation is at stake here because of the sinfulness of His servant. Beloved, while God hasn't actually lost any honor, the picture here is that He has lost honor, at least if you're a Philistine, from Philistia. And the honor of Yahweh Himself must mean much more to us than our own honor, like Saul wanted his own honor, or we will bring dishonor to Him. If we're not seeking His honor above all things, then what we're actually doing is bringing dishonor to His name. And the men of Jabesh then show their gratitude for what Saul did for them earlier in the book, when he delivered them by risking their own lives to bury he and his sons. But as the chapter ends on a down note, Saul has died and Israel is somewhat in chaos now because there's no king. Remember who is the king? The Lord. And remember also that this chapter, chapter 31, is not the end of the book. Oftentimes we would think in our English Bibles, this is the end of the book, and it ends on a down note. Ends a very depressing picture, and yet this isn't the end of the book. First and Second Samuel actually go together. They're one book people think that they had to be split up in two different scrolls, and so that's why you have First Samuel, Second Samuel, and so they're one book. They go together, and so the good news is ahead. David, who will point to Jesus, will reign on the throne, and the covenant will be given to him in chapter 7. There will always be a king forever reigning on the throne. And Yahweh, who looks on the heart, has chosen a shepherd for those and for these scattered sheep. And we would despair if we only looked on the external, what man sees. If we were to just look on chapter 31 and look on the external. But that is not what matters. What matters is not what man sees, but what God sees in the heart of man. He has chosen a man after His own heart, David. And He is going to come about as to be the King, pointing forward to Jesus, the Lord and King, who reigns forever and ever. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You and thank You again for showing Your faithfulness. You have kept Your word and Your promises, which gives us hope for the future and Your promises that You've made that have not come about yet, that You will make us holy and blameless. Lord, that seems far-fetched for us, and yet that's why we're here, that You would sanctify us and bring us into glory, perfectly holy. Father, we ask that You would be glorified in these things, even what seems to be a tragic situation. Lord, let us live lives which continue to live after Your word. And for some of us, that might bring us to situations in life which are very difficult and even might claim our lives. And yet, Lord, You are still good and You're still faithful. Just as You are faithful to Jonathan here in his death. Father, we ask that You would also show us what it means to honor You. Lord, we do not desire to dishonor You or to bring shame upon the name of Jesus. And so we would ask that You would be working in us to continually sanctify us, that we would bring honor to You, even as we worship now, that we would be people who honor You in our worship and not be here just for ourselves or for any other reason. And Father, we ask that You would be with our government again. As here at the end of 1 Samuel, it seems like government for Israel is in chaos. There's no king. And yet we know that you are king, and you reign on the throne, and you're in control. And we have the elections coming up this next month, November, and debates coming up for president, and then all the things that go with all the other elections, Father. We ask that you would be sovereign over these things, that you would not allow us to fret or complain, Lord, but that we would trust in your providence and your good purposes and your decree, and that you will bring about those people who need to rule to accomplish your purposes. And Lord, we pray that they would be God-fearing people, and that you would bring salvation to those who already are ruling over us. And Father, we also ask for healing to those bodies which are sick. Think of the Mott family and ask that you would heal them, and that they were unable to be with us for worship this morning. They had to leave early, and so we ask that you would heal them, heal their bodies. I also ask that you would heal Bob and Marie, especially Marie, who's been struggling in a hard way lately. I ask that you would heal her, to bring her back, that she'd be able to worship with us again. Heal the cancer in Bob and all the different sicknesses that go around in our bodies, and share it with Sharon and the Bennetts and even Dina and her energy, and all of us, Lord, in any way in which we struggle. And Lord, we ask that you would heal. You would be with John and bring his wife and children here, that you would speed up this process. We again thank you that you've brought the process this far, and you've answered our prayers thus far. Yes, we ask that you would continue to answer our prayers, and you would bring them here quickly, if that be your will. And Lord, we ask that you be exalted in all things, and even in our worship now. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Hear us, Father. Amen.